Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. You know, the Voices of Courage show is a show that's really here for you. This is a place where we explore what it truly takes to live, to lead, to perform, to love at your highest level. Today, we're talking about something that's quite near and dear to my heart. We're talking about emotional intelligence. You know, performance just isn't just about how hard you push, right? It's about how well you regulate your pressure, respond to challenges, and stay present when things don't go as you plan them. The truth is, unmanaged emotions drain energy, cloud judgment, and slowly erode performance. Have you ever gotten upset and then all of a sudden you don't think properly? Well, that's what we're talking about, right? And we're talking about being able to master your emotions and be able to create success beyond what you can even think is manageable. You know, in a world that rewards constant hustle and dominance, many high performers are truly burnout, losing connection and mistaking control for strength. Today's conversation challenges that model and introduces you to a more grounded, emotionally intelligent approach to leadership and achievement, one that allows you to excel without sacrificing your health, your relationships, or a sense of who you truly are. I want to say this, man. You know, I've been doing this for a while. Right. And I want to say that I've learned as a triathlete, as a marathoner, as a Olympic swimmer, not Olympic in the Olympics, but swimming in those Olympic pools. That's not me. But, you know, I mean, I've done, competed, 2 mile swims and, you know, top 10 in the world in my category as a triathlete in 2017 at the Penticton triathlon event with a 3,500 athletes came around the world. It was on Team USA. So I've done a few of these things. And here's what I found out. Okay. So awareness precedes performance. So what does that mean? Well, when you are in a place where you're pushing, 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 you're driving, 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 a lot of times you get stuck. And a lot of times you don't even know why. But what I've learned is that if you want to be great at anything, stillness needs to be part of the equation where you set your goals, you identify who you're becoming, you get clear with the steps that you want for your goals, but then you stop, you get still. And you just ask a simple question. What's the next step? It sounds spunky, but it's very effective. And if you plan that, if you use stillness throughout your day, what happens is your performance increases. Because what happens with stillness, when you can still your mind, become the observer of your thoughts for just a moment, what happens is that it also stills emotions. Because the mind is over the emotions, emotions over actions, actions over results, right? So when you can get quiet, then your emotions still down. What happens when your emotions still down? You get insights. You get insights almost instantly. And if you practice this for any period of time, you start to make better and better choices. So awareness precedes performance. Stillness sharpens your power. And the ego basically creates exhaustion. If you're running on just pure ego, and you're in that place where you're just pushing, 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 you're really not going anywhere, all right? So that's what we're talking today. You know, we're talking about you becoming more vulnerable with yourself, maybe learning some of the skill sets that my special guest is going to talk to us about emotional intelligence, about how he changed his whole life up as a result of what he learned. And, if you watch this show for any length of time, you know that I like to bring people that have a lot of wisdom on this show. And that's what I'm going to do in just a second, right after the break.
Do you suffer in pain? Are you stiff, tense, or less active than before? Introducing the EasyWell Remedy Massage System that combines the incredible effects of vibrational therapy, targeted deep tissue shiatsu massage, plus soothing infrared heat. A triple fusion of therapeutic experiences. Full body vibrational therapy increases blood circulation and reduces inflammation. Look at these beads moving from the powerful vibrational motors.
It's like 1,000 little fingers just vibrating my body from head to toe.
Infrared heat penetrates deep to reduce pain, soothe, and relax.
Remedy gets in there and helps deal with the source of the pain, so you feel much better.
The Ultra Shiatsu Pillow with 6 infrared heated nodes mimics a professional massage. Plus, it's detachable for deep relief anywhere you need it.
It's just something that you're gonna have to feel for yourself.
Experience the true remedy for your pain and stiffness. Call now.
Have you ever felt leg pain, restlessness, cramps, tingling, swelling, numbness, itchiness, or coldness? Then you need the new, clinically proven Legsercise Pro, the natural circulation booster that uses continuous automatic leg movement to soothe pain and promote healthy circulation the natural drug-free way.
After using Legsercise for a week, I felt like I wanted to go for a walk again without pain like I used to.
Legsercise Pro's patented walking simulator propulsion technology moves your feet back and forth along its concave track, creating constant movement and flex at both the knee and ankle joints. It's like having a physical therapist right in your own home.
It's helped with the swelling and the pain. The tingling feeling is gone.
Call right now and order your very own Legsercise Pro, the clinically proven automatic leg mover that soothes pain and naturally promotes healthy circulation. Call now.
Hi, welcome back, everybody. This is Kendi Foster, and I have my very special guest, Dave Rossi, with me. Dave, welcome to the show, man.
Ken, thank you so much. I have to start by saying I love your introduction. The courage, the know the unknowable and see the unseeable kind of gave me goosebumps watching your graphics and your words come through. So with that said, a really, really great introduction. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for that. Well, for those of you that don't know Dave Rossi, he's built success the hard way through grit, discipline, and unrelenting drive as a Silicon Valley entrepreneur and CEO. He scaled multi-million dollar projects and lived the alpha dream. But when burnout nearly cost him his health, family, and identity, he realized the traits that made him successful were quietly destroying his health, happiness, and humanity. He's got a new book out, Alphas Die Early, and we're going to talk about what we talked about in the intro, how, you know, I did it too. I tried to push, and you know what ended up with me? I ended up just self-medicating because I couldn't handle the stress.
Your intro was great. It was amazing. And, you know, being an athlete makes it a lot easier. And I want to add 2 tips to what you said to your intro, which was absolutely 100% correct in my mind and all of my research and all my wisdom and all my failures and all my experiences that I've had from failure to success, both in business and in health, in love. You know, I've had these failures that I've come back from and learned a lot from. But the one thing I think people need to know from your monologue is that, number one, it takes practice. You want to find stillness. You want to find emotional intelligence. It takes practice. You need to develop skills like vulnerability, but you also need to practice. And the other thing, it transcends areas beyond athletics. It's fear, it's self-esteem, it's worry, it's doubt. It's all of these emotions, depression, anxiety are all part of arenas that we can apply exactly what you said in your monologue to every aspect of your life.
Yeah. It does take practice, and of course, stillness is one of those qualities that we're not taught in school. You know, at least not the school I went to.
Yeah, me either.
I'm doing a school of hard knocks, so you know that's the school I was in, and they didn't teach me about that. But you know, there's another school out there, and that's the school of wisdom. And wisdom leaves results, and you know, people that have. People that you look at, and you know, the people I model, Dave, and I bet you do too, are people that have great relationships with their family, their wives, their friendships. They have wealth, you know, they've taken care of their money, you know, they know how to do that. They're taking care physically, mentally, emotionally, physically. You know, they're just individuals that are leading what we would call extraordinary life, but the truth is they're just leading a normal life of how we be here.
Stillness, I think, may not be entirely understood, but it's really a practice of turning off a lot of mentation and a lot of thoughts and fears and ideas in your mind. I mean, the brain, you know, what air is to lungs and what blood is to your heart, thoughts are to your brain. And so when you begin to slow life down, when you begin to recontextualize the paradigm, your brain stops thinking so much and it stops trying to survive and it starts living. And there's a big distinction between the difference of trying to survive and living life. And I think that's kind of what you tapped on.
Yeah, well, you got a new book out, or, you know, it's been out for a little while now, but I love your title, Alphas Die Early. And how do we get out of the alpha mentality into, as you would say, the omega mentality?
Well, I think that's a great question. So it's called Alphas Die Early for a couple of reasons. One, men in general are on a downward trend in every category of suicide rates. You know, they're on a downward trend with higher education, with mental illness. And, you know, I suffered from a lot of mental issues when I lost my business, when I chose to leave a 17-year marriage with three kids and a business. I pretty much lost everything in that endeavor, but I believed in what I was doing. And I got back to basics. I lost my business and I started from scratch. And here I am now, you know, I've built an 8-figure construction business. You know, and applying all the things that I learned. And so I think to get out of the alpha mindset is more difficult than you think. There's two things that really keep us stuck. Number one, Darwinism, DNA. We are animals still. We are part of the animal kingdom. And that's 2 million years of evolution. The neurotransmitters that go through our brain, we run from a tiger or mammoth, you know, 40,000 years ago. It's the same chemical today that we're worried about how we look and change how successful we are. So we have to be able to temper, put at bay our instincts as an animal, because we've evolved past a primate. We're much more evolved. And secondly, our programming. Right? And our programming is how we are raised and what environments we're in and what belief structure that we create. If we hold on to these animalistic traits and we hold on to these programs, whether it's politics or whether it's scarcity or it's abundance or it's, you know, ethnic connections to ethnicity and our family. You hold on to these things, and then those things become the way we react to the world. And that alpha mentality is very Darwinian, very animalistic, very clear. You want to be a Anaconda gorilla, you go fight. You want to be the brightest peacock, you have big feathers and bold feathers. But that's not really where it is anymore. Is it money or is it being fit? And it's just very confusing. So we have to stop doing that first.
Well, you know, it was Stephen Hawkins. I mentioned him on another show. Dr. Stephen Hawkins wrote a book, Power versus Force, years ago. And in that book, he measured consciousness. And what basically came to the conclusion that about, I think it was 85% of the people, 80-85% live in a fear-based consciousness. And the bridge between fear and the higher levels of consciousness was courage, right? So when you stepped into courage, you stepped out of fight or flight.
So what's courage?
Yeah, right. You know, and courage, of course, doesn't show up until you walk into the unknown. People think, well, how do I develop courage? Well, you go do things you've never done before.
And that takes faith.
And it takes faith.
Yeah. So courage. So Hawkins, you know, I'm a huge student of Hawkins. I've read maybe half of his books a dozen times. Certainly Power versus Force, I've read many times, and The Eye of the Eye, which is the follow-up. 70% of people, he calls it, you said 80, which is right there, are below consciousness level 200, which is negative energy and positive energy.
Yeah,
and courage is doing the hard things when they're hard. It's fighting the body when you want to eat a burrito, but it's not on your menu. It's fighting the urge to snap back and be aggressive. Courage is not being curated and wearing a mask for gain, for personal gain. And it takes faith to know that when you're about to be defenseless and show vulnerability, which is a sign of weakness, ultimately takes courage and strength to do that.
Well, in the old alpha, you know, it's a sign of weakness in alpha. It's a sign of strength in omega.
Omega is no longer living for approval. It's right. living through self-mastery. And self-mastery is when you've tackled courage,
right.
you have the mastery over your Darwinian urges and your programming. You can choose what you want to believe. You can choose how to behave. And you have that courage and power to live the life you want to live.
Yeah. And I love that. Listen, I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to take a deeper dive into alphas die early. I don't want any of my alpha men out there to doubt always that. I'm glad you're listening to us today. All right. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'll be right back with my guest, Dave Rossi, in just a second. I want to mention to you that if you're on YouTube right now, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And if you're not on YouTube, check us out over there. You know, you can check us out at youtube.com at the Courage Network. And you know, this is a show, a lot of us are in service to each other, and I know you are too if you're part of my audience. So I really encourage you to share this show with people that you care about, that you love, that really will help them to change their life too. All right, back with my guest Dave Rossi. All right, the new book. Okay, I'm going to put that new book up on screen here so we have that. And it's Alphas Die Early. And, I see we got it over there on that side. I'll hold off on that for a second, Dave. Tell me about Alphas Die Early. Why'd you write that book?
Well, I wrote it initially for my boys, and the original title was Stop Being a Real Man So You Can Be a Real Man, which meant the confusion of what men are going through. They think that an alpha represents performance and success and bravado and, you know, proving your worthiness, approval, seeking approval. And I realized that when my life failed and when I had to put the pieces back together again, what I learned is how important authenticity was to truly not manufacture or curate a life if it wasn't truly me. If I presented myself to somebody that wasn't authentically me, then instantly that relationship was not sustainable because they may have been connected to who I was pretending to be rather than who I really was. So I wanted to have a successful life. I did not want to fail. And I used to always say to myself, you know, I lost 50 pounds. I had to start from zero. I moved out of my primary residence. And I said, I'm never going back. And part of never going back was not making the same mistakes that I did. And if I did make those mistakes, I said to myself, I'm okay with going through that same pain that I went through all those years rebuilding. And part of it was just being authentic. And so I really wrote this book to help people understand what that means, how important it is, and how you can be successful without having to have bravado or performance or seek approval.
Well, you know, you're a good example of how to use pain. You know, when I first woke up and heard this little voice in 1992 that said, you got to feel the pain to make the change, I was chasing pleasure. And that's all, you know, I wanted, trying to cut off duality, right? I was just like, you know, that I don't want any pain in my life. Unfortunately, that mindset created a lot of pain, not only in my life, my children's life, my ex-wife's life, my business and everything else. So you're using pain, and this is the way I think we need to use it, as a motivator to do better. It's like, you know, a lot of people think they have, let's say they have chronic pain in their body. You know, I had chronic pain in my body. I thought, well, I don't want to live with this anymore. I'm not going to take all the meds the rest of my life. I'm going to figure out how to heal this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went to doctors that said, I don't know how to heal that. And I went, okay, thank you very much. I'm going to find somebody that does. You did that. You went, I'm 50 pounds over. My marriage is messed up. I'm messing with my kids. Yeah, and you use pain to go, enough. I'm gonna get through this.
Yeah.
What motivated you to do that, man? I mean, what's that mindset that some people feel pain? They have a high threshold of pain, Dave, and they just keep going and just let it ruin their lives. Why did you stop and turn it around and use it for your benefit?
Well, I think the first thing was my best friend died. I mean, like soulmate best friend, my best friend from third grade, somebody I would have said I knew me better than my parents. This was a real connected person to me. And he died suddenly in an accident. And I must have cried every week for 5 years, lamenting the loss and the pain of that loss. And then I realized, wait a minute, thinking I lost something isn't going to bring him back. But thinking that he lost his life for me to change isn't going to bring him back. One of them made me really happy and one of them made me really sad. And so I started connecting to the fact that I thanked him for losing his life to help propel mine in a better place. And I think the thing with pain is, you know, if someone steps on your hand or there's a rock in your shoe, you're going to kind of take the foot off your hand and keep the rock out of your shoe, right? Pain, physical pain, is a request to change course. Emotional pain is the same as well. And we don't always look at emotional pain as like a turning point in the road or a why in the road to fix something. And so for me, when I solved this loss problem and my outlook became so much happier reconciling his death, everything became a challenge to fix. Oh, I'm sad. Why? Oh, I feel low self-esteem. Why? Oh, I feel really embarrassed. Why? And so everything became, let me understand. And there's a very famous quote, and I don't want to answer this too long, but a famous philosopher, Epictetus, said, it's not events that make you upset, it's your belief in them that does. So I grabbed onto that. And anytime there was something that upset me, what's my belief that made me sad? What's my belief that made me have low self-esteem? What's my belief that made me angry? And I began to use that motto and really dive into my belief structure. And what about Darwin? What about my parenting, my programming for my parents that made me believe these things that I now needed to change.
Yeah. Well, you know, and one of the other side that I would ask myself, because I did the same thing, is what would a person have to believe to heal their arm? What would a person have to believe to have a great relationship? What would a person have to believe to X, Y, Z? So, you know, it's both sides of that. Like, what did I believe and what do I need to believe now to move that needle to be able to become the best version of ourselves?
You tipped in something important, though. Most of those beliefs are ancient belief structures. It's not like they have to be new age. And also, I think that people don't apply them when they should. There can be a common belief structure that you used to apply all the time, you know? Like, it isn't up to me, you know, success isn't up to me. It's often up to this, it's up to the market and up to embargoes or recessions or depressions, or whatever. So you can just apply these things over and over again as a belief structure.
Yeah. And I think it's good to think about, look at your results. That's all. That's what I do. I look at my results. Okay. You know, I'm not waking up at the time I want to wake up. Let's say I'm just making that up, but because I do wake up in I set my intention.
I'm sure you do, Ken. I don't think that you would.
But here's the thing. You know, it's like if that's a result that you like. Well, I like to wake up at 6 every day, and you're waking up at 8 or 9. You know, it's like you say, okay, I've got to release whatever's inside there. I got to look at it. Like you said, what's the belief I would have, or where did that even come from? Right. And, you know, and then it's like, well, what's a person have that, you know, what are some of the thoughts that I could reprogram my thought or my mind around, you know, my subconscious mind, and repeat those over and over again until all of a sudden now you're waking up early. Right. So there's a piece that we could do that.
And I would add one more thing to that, which everything you said, I agree with. And there is a conversation with yourself you have to have.
Yeah.
But you also have to understand that it's a lot of biology. You know, if you ride a horse or rent a horse, it literally goes to the halfway point and runs home because all it wants to do is rest. Dogs lie around all day because as an animal, we want to rest. And so when I want to get up in the morning, I say, okay, my body wants to rest. The animal side of me is trying to conserve energy and save my life. That's not good for me. So don't be tricked by that. And then I engage what you just said. If I want to be the kind of person that gets up, do I have the courage and the power to override the body? Do it.
Yeah. You know, one of the other keys, because I've been the alpha, you know, driver like you have, is to be gentle on ourselves and to take it one day, one step at a time. You know, Rome wasn't conquered in a day, and we don't have to conquer our mindsets, our beliefs in a day. We can allow ourselves time to move into it, to understand ourselves. For me, I think the greatest skill that I learned was how to journal. When I was early on, I just started journaling so I could hear myself and hear my thoughts and get them out of my head and put them on paper. And for me, that really worked well, along with what we talked about earlier, which was getting into a spiritual, you know, practice.
Ken, I think you could have authored this book.
What's that?
You could have authored this book. You have all you're there. I mean.
Yeah.
You know, I consider judgment the same as shame. Shame is a judgment that's gone personalized, right? Yeah. And blame. These three things really prevent all growth. Judgment needs a scale. When we judge, we compare a behavior of our own against a behavior we think should be met. Yeah. And we don't even know where that schedule came from. That schedule or that comparison usually comes from programming or some belief structure that was given to us. And we are unkind to ourselves because we don't check the standard that we're using to judge ourselves against. And to be kind to yourself, I say, wait a minute, I didn't choose the standard. Is this the right standard? Yeah. And also, I'm a work in progress. Judgment only makes my life more difficult. And you mentioned it in your monologue. The a fear and a lack of stillness creates this fog on your windshield that you can't see so well. Your driving capacity goes way down. Your ability to rationalize and think through logic and you know, emotional topics goes down when you have a lack of stillness, which is stress, which is fear, which is judgment, which is blame, which is shame. You're never going to improve if you can't learn to start throwing these things out the window and pushing them aside.
But, you know, I realized at one point that I wanted to have peace in my life. And it, not at one point. I work on this. But at that time in my life, I thought, you know, I need to make peace with my family of origin. I needed to make peace with my God of my understanding. I needed to make peace with my environments that I was living in, with my country, okay? And I needed to make peace with myself. And so I started on that path of saying, okay, what would I have to know to be able to bring peace around the country I live in? A lot of people don't have peace around the country right now. You know, they're thinking the country's this and that and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I mean, that's fine. You know, if that's getting you what you want. I mean, if you want to live in chaos and misery and upset, you know, that's okay. You know, some people don't seem to mind that. But for me, I wanted to have peace.
Would you call peace the same as forgiveness?
Forgiveness is part of peace.
Yeah, and acceptance.
And acceptance. And, you know, there's another piece. Allowing is part of peace. Allowing.
So, well, you know, yeah.
That's an important piece. I don't want to skip over that. Because when we start to realize that at our highest level of thinking, allowing is part of that. So we're not attached to outcomes as we were as an alpha. We allow things to unfold in a more natural way.
Well, it's a humility. It's a humility.
And humility, yeah.
You're accepting that there's things that are more powerful than you, like the economy, that you can't change, and you accept. I think allow and accept are you know, very similar words. In my first book, I was very passionate about these words that you're using, that I wrote 7 habits, and one of them was acceptance, and one of them was don't fear the outcome.
Yeah.
The outcome isn't always up to you. If you do the right thing and say the things you need to say, how someone responds isn't really up to me. If I need to say it, then I have to say it. And I shouldn't modify what I need to do because I'm afraid of how somebody else might react. And for me, I stayed married for so long and happy because I was afraid of the outcome of what would happen if I stood up for myself.
Yeah.
And so to live a peaceful, still life,
yeah.
Everything you're saying, I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, I think we do outgrow, we outgrow our own thinking. And when we outgrow our own thinking, we start to let go of some of the programming that we had as children or adults even. And we start to open up to a greater understanding, greater wisdom. Then what happens is that sometimes those people in our lives, they seem to go away. We pull energy from them. We whether it's a marriage or it's a family member or it's a close friend, sometimes we outgrow, I don't know if outgrow is the word. I think we're at a different level of understanding and others can come into our world to help us to the next level. I think that's what happens.
When did you think you started discovering this?
Well, for me, I know the date. It was 1992. And, I was in a lot of pain and misery. And I told you, I heard that little voice that said, you got to feel the pain to make the change. That's when I decided I'm not going to be in pain anymore. I'm just not going to do it. And I didn't, I tried chasing pleasure. That didn't work. Now I'm in pain. Okay. What do I need to do to rethink my life? And, for me, I started reading again. I started going to support group meetings. I started to do whatever I could do to figure out what made me tick and also what made human, all of us tick, right?
I think Wayne Dyer called it sick and tired of being sick and tired.
That was it. That was it.
Yeah. And I think that happens for a lot of people. I was in the same place. It was 96 when I left my marriage. And I was listening to Wayne Dyer talk about Leo Tolstoy in the book, The Death of Ivan Illich. And, Ivan Illich wanted to be a musician his whole life. And he became a judge. And everyone cajoled him into being a judge, including his wife and his family. And then on his deathbed, he said, and looked up after this miserable life of living everybody else's life. He said, what if I lived my whole life wrong? And that hit me so hard. I realized I was living my entire life on the wrong train. And I literally walked down and said to my wife at the time, we're done. I need to make steps to move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had that same conversation and, you had the same outcome. I do look back and wonder, with the mindset that I have today, I would have been able to stay in the relationship that I had early on. I believe that's true.
I wouldn't have gotten mine. The mindset I have today, I wouldn't have even gotten it.
But even still, I don't know if she would have been able to stay with me. So the outcome might have been the same.
Well, I think, certainly, there's a great phrase, there's no regrets. Well, certainly I have regrets, but I learned from them. And had I wished they not happened, yes, I don't regret them because I learned from them. And there was a lot of pain that it took. And I needed all that pain to get to where I am today. So I'm grateful for it. And I can look back now and have that gratitude.
Yeah.
But I think, if you can accelerate where you felt in 1992 or where I felt when I was, in 1996, and say, I don't have to hit that low to start making my life better. It really saves a lot of pain.
Yeah. Well, today, there's people listening today and, this may be your day. Today's the day you say, sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of pretending like everything's okay. You can, rate yourself, rate your different areas of your life, rate your relationships on a scale of 1 to 10 with your wife,
yeah.
With yourself, with, rate your, financial life, rate your, your happiness, look at all the areas of your life and just kind of rate it. Go, if you're like, 2 to 4 to 5 to 6s in a lot of these areas, just get clear. Okay. These are results that, as a result of the way I think, the way I've shown up in the world, these are the results that I've got. Not from a place of shame and blame and criticism, just from a place of saying, if I created this, then I can uncreate it and I can take my life to a completely
new level. Or just want something better. Just say there's better. I think for me, when I was lost for so many years in that marriage, I didn't think there were solutions, so I didn't think I really could acknowledge problems either.
Right.
And so when I learned that there are solutions, there is a different way to live from a mindset perspective,
yeah.
from letting go, from a lot of things you said, stillness, peace, forgiveness. You know, Mark Twain has this great quote about forgiveness. Forgiveness is the scent of violet leaves on the heel of a boot that just crushed it, which means you forgive everything, because if it doesn't mean you have the boot in your life, it means you forgive it and you move on. Yeah. You can keep it out of your life, but it already happened, so there's no reason to dwell on it. And I think for people watching, you know, you have to take a stand for your life and make it better.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to hit rock bottom like it did for me for people to change.
Or me. And, you know, forgiveness means to give up, literally, to give up. What do we give up? You know, you don't have to give around the memory around it, but we're giving up the emotion around it, the attachment to it, that energy we carry. You know, you don't have to let go of your lesson, you know, when something goes on, but let go of the energy around it. Listen, I got to take a break. And we come back, you know, you say that ego is the true cause of burnout. I'd like to take a little deeper dive into that. So we will do that right after this break.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster, and we're talking with Dave Rossi. He's got a book out there called Alphas Die Young, and we don't want to die young. Anyway. All right, here's the book on the screen there for everybody to see it, Alphas Die Young, Dave Rossi. You can get it at Amazon or wherever books are sold. Before the break, I talked about the your quote that the ego is the true cause of burnout. What does that mean anyway?
Well, I think it's probably safe to start by understanding what ego is. I've come to learn where I think it originated. Ego is a false version of ourselves. It's something that we, that our animalistic side created once it got cognition to be a modern Homo sapien. And ego was invented to help us survive in this world. It creates a persona that we use every day to survive better. So we often slightly curate or slightly obfuscate or slightly say that the problem was 14 pounds when it was maybe 13 and a half pounds. We create this aggrandization of ourselves to be accepted. And you look at on social media, you see oftentimes all the best parts of what people are wearing and what situation they're in. because it's the ego saying, I want to survive. It's that Darwinian aspect of, I want to survive. I want to be survival of the fittest. I need to survive in this world. And this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to pretend and I'm going to act and I'm going to portray. And what happens is that becomes very seductive and it becomes almost a momentum in itself. And certainly in work and also in relationships, we present an aspect of ourselves for gain. And we slightly change what we're capable of or who we are for gain. I'm not saying that we immediately rush in on a first date and tell people all the bad parts about us, but certainly you want to be really authentic because then you're portraying yourself accurately to the person you're trying to get to know. And same thing in business. So in sales, it looks like instead of saying, hey, we can do this, we're the best and all this flamboyance and trying to oversell, it becomes, is this the right fit?
Yeah.
And usually if it is the right fit, you'll be more successful.
Well, you know, even in sales, I mean, for me, it's, you know, the word sale comes from the Latin word salve, which means to serve. And when we're in a place where we get still and we are there to really serve another human being, how can we really help? It's interesting because we, you know, to do that, we've got to be authentic, right? We got to be real. And that's what you're talking about. Letting go of the false narratives of who we think we are. You know, it's interesting. I love sales because sales always challenge me to go into, you know, maybe meet somebody I had on a platform or a company I've got a call on that, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? But when I just got authentic and real, I was like, oh, you know, I don't know, these people put their pants on like I do. I guess I'll just have a conversation. Things change.
What's a mindset shift? And I shifted that with my business wherein, instead of trying to go get all the projects I could get as a contractor, it was, I want to get only the right projects with the right fit, with the right match, with the right personality. And I want to choose morality over money. If somebody I sense was not a good person or didn't value transparency and quality and the things that my company intrinsically brought to the table, go find somewhere else. And so my market size got a lot smaller, but it got a lot more stable. And work became a lot more enjoyable and it became a lot more sustainable. And so the burnout piece comes, you know, I think there's a famous Rockefeller quote. Someone asked him, how many millions are enough? And he said something to the effect, just one more. And so what happens with ego is we just keep wanting more, like a squirrel looking for nuts. And I talk about this in my book, is that a squirrel just keeps on looking for nuts. No matter how many nuts it has, its DNA is to get more nuts. And your body will burn you out trying to be an animal, and we're not. You've evolved, and I'm just encouraging people to live in that evolution and absorb it and change.
That's good. You know, if some people don't realize they're living in ego, so let me give you the test, okay? If you're living in ego, you don't feel fulfilled. You don't feel like you're enough. You don't feel like you have enough. That's ego.
Yeah.
And when you let go of that, when you say, well, wait a second, you start asking, well, where's true fulfillment? It's not outside yourself. We've all tried to find it out there. And you could be happy buying your new Mercedes. You'll be happy maybe for a month or two, but eventually you go, this isn't it. I need, you know, and then you search for something else.
Sure.
Fulfilled. A lot of people do this with, you know, with addictions, or they don't even have to have addiction. I mean, they go out shopping because they don't feel fulfilled.
They want more. They want more. It's more nuts. It's more.
Next food, the next this, the next that, right?
Well, I think purpose is a very confusing aspect of fulfillment because people say, oh, I want purpose and I'll be fulfilled when I find my purpose. Well, ego has hijacked purpose because it's a very eloquent and endearing thing to say, I want to find purpose. But, you know, well, does that mean some kind of, you know, career in giving or in philanthropy? And is it something noble? Do I have to have something noble that meets purpose? And everyone says, oh, I got to find purpose. And if I find purpose, then I'll be fulfilled. Okay. It's called forward gapping. If I find it, then I'll be right. And so the thing with purpose is that people are so confused about, and I want to, anyone listening, purpose is one thing. You're alive. That's it. You don't need any more purpose than that. If you attach to the belief and the humility of I'm alive, and it's a Viktor Frankl thing, the meaning of life is that life has meaning. If you give just life meaning and you understand that everything beyond that is a win, and so my purpose is to be alive. And what does that mean? It means to be good and open-hearted and open-minded and giving and have reverence for life. That's the base. You can find all the fulfillment you need right there. But we compare and we judge and we our ego gets jumped involved and it wants more money and more nuts. Yeah. And that's
and I you know, I'll plus that. I with purpose, higher purpose. Okay. You know, life is, yeah, I'm alive, but what does it mean to be alive? Like, what is that energy, that vibration, that frequency that's flowing through us that that illuminates and makes these hands move, that makes this brain think? What is that?
Well, I think
there's a part of self-realization in this piece, like realizing who we are at our essence, right?
Well, distill it to this: those feelings you're talking, those fingers of being alive, can be one of two things. Yeah. It could be your ego trying to survive, or your higher purpose reaching for more.
Yeah,
and when you can understand and differentiate between the two, and it takes practice and it takes time, and you're going to make mistakes differentiating the two. But athletically, when you're exercising and you're tired, and your brain says you're tired, that is ego saying, "I need to save Ken D. Foster from dying, and we're going to slow down." And then another part of you says, no, Ken wants to keep pushing. I'm going to keep pushing. There is success by pushing through the pain of my body. One is neurofeedback of your biology, and the other is something outside of that that you're overriding. That's where courage comes in. That should be applied to self-esteem and to judgment and to blame and to shame and to anxiety and for fear, all of these things. You need to use that same process of life being about opportunity of what's possible. Pushing beyond the fingers of ego saying, do this for gain, do this for pleasure, or stop doing this because of pain. Those two fingers need to be analyzed.
Yeah, I love that. And I want to just, we're out of time, so I want to give you a final thought here. I want to just let everybody know again, alphas do die early. So you open Dave's book and you can get it on Amazon or wherever and go take a deep dive into this conversation that we're having right now, because that's in the book. That's what the book's about. Dave, thank you for being here. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts, Ken. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed you, and I would be welcome anytime. I would love to come anytime. You really, really love your show, and I really appreciate what you do. And my final thoughts are more about you than anything else. So thank you so much.
Oh man, you know, I appreciate that. I'm honored to have you here, and love to have you back. So we'll figure that out. All right, take care, everybody. Till next time, continue to see the unseeable and know the unknowable. And when you do, you'll be able to do the impossible. That's what the show is about. That's what we're delivering: wisdom, courage, understanding, and truth on this show. So keep coming back. Take care. Thank you.